Blog Talk Radio.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on hatred for the enemy. They have a policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media and just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say fuck them. That's straight from Mike P. Jump on your...
What'd that man say, Bill?
You know, I think he was trying to make a statement. I think he was trying to say, like, fuck it. Man, be tired, be pressed. Hey, where he goes, because he wears colors, they get pulled over. It's
yeah.
a tough life. It's a tough life. Listen, you got anything you want to jump in, or you want me? You mind if I jump
no,
in?
No, you can go first.
Yeah,
and then,
I guess I want to talk about.
Yeah, we'll take that one up into consideration.
There's a lot of charities we do.
What I wanted to read here real quick, once I located right here, was the fact that the Supreme Court ruled in the case of Cohan versus California, 403 U.S. 15, 1971, better known as the UNRRA Act, Bill,
right.
that individuals have the constitutional right under the First Amendment to wear clothing which displays writing or designs. In addition, the right of an individual to freedom of association has long been recognized and protected by the United States Supreme Court. Thus, a person's right to wear clothing of his choice, as well as his right to belong to any club or organization of his choice, is constitutionally protected, and persons or establishments who discriminate on the basis of clothing or club membership are subject to lawsuits, Bill. Don't subject yourself to a civil and criminal penalties and too expensive and time-consuming lawsuits. Don't discriminate against people wearing colors or motorcycle attire.
However, if you're going to wear colors or motorcycle attire, expect the fact that you are going to get stopped, harassed. It's the nature of the beast.
Right.
If you don't want to do it, stop doing it. If you're going to do it, then, you know what, be prepared for when they pull you over. Don't lose your temper. Be under control.
Favorite two words, shut up.
Shut up. All righty. I want to talk about something here that's kind of different to me. You know, I get friends from all over, up north, different states, different countries, and I don't talk a lot about charity events per se, but I want to talk about, and this is going to get you right in the, knock you down.
Yeah.
Bikers for Christ.
About, yeah, I know about this one.
We're talking about a Christian bike club and Illusion Motorcycles. That's a custom bike shop out of Orange County. They teamed up to bless this guy called Shag Dad. Now, the story about this is by a guy named Pastor Z. He's the big cheese at the Bikers for Christ. He wrote the story. I want you to listen to it, and I kind of want you to bear with me. It's a little long, not too bad. And listen to the whole story, folks. On Sunday, July 23rd, God provided some incredibly beautiful weather for a benefit rally. Okay, so Pastor Z wrote this, not Bill Kennedy, because I wouldn't have said that. But it's a benefit rally birthday party for our friend and brother, Don Shag Daddy Marshall. Literally hundreds of people attend the event that Pastor Z put on for Shag with the help of his friends and Shag's Rusty and Kayon Coons. Illusion Motorcycle. And the Rusty and K.O. Coons have been around for some time. They do some outstanding motorcycles. He's also a member of Attica 7.
Mm-hmm.
And he's also coming up in a new thing on reality TV. But I'll let that go for a bit, folks.
And he's also Sons of Anarchy.
Yes. That's right, too. He did come in then. Good then. Okay, this guy Shag is one of the coolest, funniest, old-school independent bikers that this guy, Basil, he ever met in his entire life. Here's the important background, how they met. Shag's action made him a hero in their eyes. In 2007, Bikers for Christ chapter in Orange County, California, heard about a young 17-year-old named Kevin who has cerebral palsy. Kevin's parents had to carry this 100-pound boy up and down the stairs twice a week to take a shower or give a sponge bath in the kitchen sink. Their home had a toilet and a sink downstairs bedroom, but no way to bathe Kevin. The Bikers for Christ decided that they needed to help this family. So they put a fundraiser in to build them a full bathroom and a shower, using the existing room and laundry room behind the small bathroom. Bikers for Christ members decided to put on a benefit rally at Kennedy's Custom Cycles in Oceanside. If you've been around for a while, that's my brother Mike Kennedy and myself, Bill Kennedy. We have the shop there. And they raised money for the project. Bikers for Christ headquarters and members of the Orange County, San Diego, and from Inland Empire teamed up and did a great job at this benefit. That was their shop to kind of get things going. Okay, their construction skills at, you know, BFC were not adequate for this type of project. But once the newspapers ran the stories of what we attempted to do, they got amazing volunteers to step up to the plate. One guy in particular, an incredible tile man named Don Shag Marshall, who was also a biker, decided to get the materials at cost and donate all of his labor to the project to help this young kid. So during this project, they got to be real good friends, shared a lot of stories and had a lot of laughs together. The end result was that they built Kevin a beautiful custom $25,000 fully tiled bathroom with a roll-in shower, giving him independence and dignity to take care of his weekly hygienic needs. Shag and Pastor Z kept in touch throughout the years. They swapped hugs and more stories at different rallies and concerts. In April of this year, Pastor Z got a call that no one was prepared ever to hear, but that comes always. Shag told him that he had cancer. Pastor Z was there to pray with him and lead him to faith in Christ. He prayed to receive Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. It brought him a lot of peace into his situation, as now Shag and Pastor Z trusted that his last breath on earth would be followed by his first breath in heaven. After some hospital visits, we realized things were going downhill pretty fast. Pastor Z contacted our good mutual friends, Rusty and K.O. Coons, and asked them if they could use their shop, Illusion Cycles, to host a benefit rally for Shag. Pastor Z asked if the Bikers for Christ could do the rally on Sunday, June 23rd. It's already over. And they agreed to help. K.O., which is Rusty's wife, really stepped up to the plate. She got busy making calls and getting raffle prizes. Rusty lured his staff to the game plan. Now, Esther, who is Pastor Z's wife, they went to the hospital to tell Shag that day that they're going to pick him up for his benefit. He started crying as he told Pastor Z that on June 23rd was his birthday. God really amazes Pastor Z sometimes, he says, as he always knows exactly what needs to benefit to happen and when. Shag's event changed to a benefit/birthday party. The day of the event came quickly together. Now, bear with me. I know it's a little bit long, but I want you to hear the whole damn story, okay? Shag's health continued to deteriorate. Shag and his doctors made the decision to stop his treatment and send him home. His son, Jesse, came back from home from India to care for his dad and friends. Gary, Shag's best friend, Sean, David, Graham, and others too numerous to mention, worked around the clock to try to keep him comfortable. His neighbor, Sean, kept bringing over food and for him and all the helpers. Shag kept a constant stream of friends visiting. Then his friend Brandon and his wife and in-laws showed up with Shag's new grandbaby from Northern California for a few days and completely made his days more joyful. Jesse kept his dad eating healthy and cared for him every way he could. Shag kept telling everybody how excited he was about his up-and-coming benefit/birthday party. As his health was continued to deteriorate, those who were taking care of him didn't know if he'd be able to make it to the event. It was going downhill quickly. Esther, Pastor Z's wife, and Pastor Z went to visit him on June 20th, and he again perked up again. Shag vowed to come to the event. His friends started talking about how to get him there and started making plans. Esther and Pastor Z went to Illusion to check with K.O. and Rusty. K.O., by the way, is a remarkable lady. She really puts her heart into any events that they're involved with. K.O. also made an awesome Shag cupcake make. I'm sorry. She's truly a class act. K.O. was also successful in securing a smoking deal on a private ambulance to take him on his hospital bed. His neighbors, God, this is a long time. I'm sorry, guys. His neighbors paid for the ambulance ride. Everybody poured love into the man who was so much more than a friend and neighbor to everybody that knew him. the day of the rally, friends of Phil and my, five loaves and two fish, donated all the food, and it was a gourmet meal. Hundreds of bikers rolled into the parking lot. Dozens of bike clubs rolled in from all over California. It was an amazing display of love and respect. Rusty and KO were generous hosts, and everybody enjoyed a great meal and some crazy raffles. Shaq's mother and brother also showed up for the event. Eddie Hollywood and his Familia Social Club and Shaq's friends from New Zealand MC rode in. Then an ambulance rolled in with a guest of honor. Shaq made it to the party. Despite the fact he came on a hospital bed, he was there. Shaq was so happy, he was in tears. Throughout the day, Shaq laughed a lot and continued cracking jokes with folks, despite the fact he was in a lot of pain. Everybody tried to line people up and send them in a few at a time. It sometimes got a little bit overwhelming for Shaq. He stayed an hour and a half and thoroughly enjoyed himself. Shane, H-A-M-C, prayed a special prayer for him. Pastor Z also has the pleasure of praying for him and his son Jesse. Everybody who attended the event was completely blessed. We ended the day with an auction. KO lent me a hand and ended up being the auctioneer for a while. She did a great job, as always. With a special thanks to Rusty, KO, Illusion Motorcycles, Bikers for Christ, and everybody who's made Shag's benefit/party so special to him, his family, and his friends. It was a beautiful day and a beautiful party. The man was in a gurney. He made it to the party. He passed away 5 days after the party. And Pastor Z left a note saying to Shag, save us some parking spaces. You know, boys and girls, I don't want you to come to my cremation. I don't want you to come to my burial. I don't want you to come to... you know what? If you care about me and you hear I'm sick, come visit me while I'm alive. You feel the same way about that, brother?
Mm-hmm.
I know that funerals for the families and all that, but I like the fact that the man had just 5 days after the party, he was conscious, great pain, but he came. I'd like to see more of us start doing parties and events where our family members were still alive. So sorry for the length of the article, but I wanted people to realize that even though people are dying, we don't need to be afraid of them. They've lost weight. Their face doesn't look the same. They're the same deep downside. You had a lot of experience to share with them. I'm hoping in a small way that more and more people who are listening will say, we do have friends of ours who are dying. We're not going to wait for them to die. We're not going to sit there in the church and say, he was a friend of mine. I knew him a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm tired of hearing that crap. Now, in Shag's case, people were actually crying and they were hugging him. So I just want to pass it on to everybody, and I hope that if you find Phil and I are dying, don't wait for us to dead. Come on down here and tell us, you know, how much you miss us. Bring a few strippers too. It's always kind of nice to, you know, pass the time of day.
Absolutely.
Might even help me get out of bed, you know, one more time, you know. So, amigo, I'm back again, reality. You know, Pastor Z, you know, of course, Rusty, you know, all those good people, they're all good friends of ours, but what do you think about the idea of a party while you're still alive?
Yeah.
All right, good.
Yeah, in fact, you know, when later on, I'm going to have a party by myself here.
Oh.
Yeah, it is. Smells good, too.
But, a little sinus problem. I'm not picking anything up here.
No.
But anyway, let's get back to our program here.
Hang on. Say hello to the ladies here real quick.
Ladies, tell us who you are, where you're from, and say hello.
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 Hello. From Chicago.
Massachusetts.
Okay.
Massachusetts.
So, how did, this is Eunice, by the way.
Yes, I know. She had the operation.
No, for the people that don't know.
How
did your stuff go?
Yes, Eunice from Massachusetts. Again, we need to let everybody tell us who they are so they know what's going on. Eunice was in for a little surgery, and we were all, I'll be honest with you, I didn't pray for you, but I asked my wife to pray for you, Eunice, but you're in my thoughts. I told you I'd pray for you, you know, truth too much. Tell us how it went, dear.
Well, it, you know, I went in for the heart catheterization at Brigham and Women's Hospital Monday, and before, when they were getting me ready to do this, you know, I said, what are the chances that something would go wrong? And the male nurse says, 1 in 1,500 that they might hit another artery. And I says, well, you know, that's a good odds. I thought that was good odds. And what happened was they did hit another artery. They held on from quarter of 10 in the morning until 4:15 trying to get this artery to close up that they hit. As a result of it, you should see my arm. It's totally black from the fingers all the way past the elbow. I come home that day, Monday. I was in excruciating pain, ended up going into the hospital here in Worcester at 4:00 in the morning. Went home at 7 that morning and ended up going back in Tuesday morning at 9:00. The arm is just a total mess. And that's what's happened so far. They said that my valve is totally disintegrating and I have to have open heart surgery. So we're going to the surgeon this coming Tuesday, but you know, Bill, I'm going to hold off because I, my cardiologist here came in to see me and he said, Eunice, I want to get those records and compare them to mine before you make your decision what you're going to do. So that's what I'm going to do, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to make a decision when he compares the two echocardiograms and so forth. So that's where it's at right now. I'm hurting a little.
Yes, did you happen to hear the beginning of my, this story I was reading about the...
Yes, I did. Yes,
well,
I did.
Let me ask you, would you feel comfortable if your friends, if you were, you know, on hospice care or you're heading out, and how would you rather friends come in and visit you when you're alive and well, although in great pain?
That's right, yes.
Or just would you rather they come to the funeral home and say, she was a great friend, I liked her a lot? What would you feel about?
No, I would like to celebrate my life while I'm alive, Bill. You know,
I
really
think that's,
would. You know something? God put us on this earth, and only God knows when we're going to leave it. And I would rather celebrate it. You know, I'm not afraid to die. And you know, and I say that honestly when I say that. I've had a good life. I've had bad things happen. I've had good things happen. And I'd want to celebrate my life. You know?
Yeah.
I want to celebrate it. And when you're gone, you're gone. And that's, you know, and that's the way it is. I would really want to celebrate it. I'm like I said, I'm not afraid to die. And, you know, people laugh when I say that. But I'm really not afraid to die. I mean, I've died many a times and have come back. And I'm very lucky that happened.
You know, Eunice, I want to tell you the nature of Phillips and my lifestyle, our connections with the people we're connected with. Most of my people are, at this age, we're homicidal. We're not suicidal. Not one of us wants to leave this earth. But not
right.
not one of us is concerned about facing death.
Right.
It's going to come when it comes. It's taken many of my friends. I've told this on the air many times. I have more friends
in the
cemetery that I call brothers than I have on
mm-hmm.
the outside. Truly, I have thousands mm-hmm. of people. But those people in the cemetery, I have a lifetime experience with that. So if I'm somewhere and I get news from the doctor, Mr. Kennedy, this is it. Well, you know what? I'm all right with that. Again, I would never run my bike into a wall. There is nothing suicidal in me, nor my friends, but my guys are pretty, they're pretty comfortable with the fact that if one of us goes and we're all going to go sometime, we're all good with that. Last year, we went with our good friend Bob.
Mm-hmm.
Bob was dying of cancer. They said it spreads his whole body. He wanted to go for a 300-mile ride with Philip and I to Arizona. His wife said, go with Bill and Phil. The doctor said, don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Luck would have it, it was actually bad for us because it was 115, 116 degrees that year. It was absolutely terrible. We stopped for Bob intermittently. We got there. We hooked up with a couple of major clubs. The place was crazy. Bob made it all the way back with me. And when he went to go in to see the doctor, like right away, the doctor says, I can't explain this, but he told Bob and his wife, your husband is in better shape than before he left. Now, 2 months ago, Bob and I and Phil went to Arizona again. And his doctor said, well, I don't think he's going to make it. I told his wife, the best thing that will happen is Phil and I will buy a shovel in the middle of the desert. I'll dig a hole in the desert. How difficult can this be? Bob didn't make it.
Right.
His wife said, I don't want to go. I want you and Phil. I want all the guys. Go, Bob. Have a good time. Bob drove another 300-some miles one way, 300-some miles back. The good thing was temperature was low, like 99. Yeah. It wasn't that crazy stuff with them. Bob's in his 70s. Every time he goes for a ride, and, of course,
He's in his 20s.
20s, yeah. Every time he comes back, he goes right into the doctor after these big, long rides, and the doctor goes, I don't know how to explain it. Well, those of us listening on the air, we can explain it fine. The motorcycle is keeping Bob alive.
Yep.
Bob's a big boy.
You know,
I
took care of my mother and until she died, and her last wish was to go to Vegas. And she was in the wheelchair, and the doctor says, Eunice, she's not going to make it. I said, she's not going to make it anywhere. So let her have her good time, you know? So I took her to Vegas. I didn't get any sleep. She did. But I'll tell you something. She loved it. That was her last wish. She wanted to do that, you know?
Understanding, yeah.
Because she said, I can't take it with me, you know? So that's what I did.
Phil, would you repeat what you said, please?
I said my mom's last wish was to go to Ireland.
And who took her to Ireland?
Well, before she got really sick.
The family? Did you take her?
No, I didn't get to
go. The family. Did the family take her? She went to Ireland. Pay attention to what I'm saying. Why are you going to argue with me all the time? She went to Ireland. God, you're a pain in the ass.
Before, she had Parkinson's.
I know, brother. That was tough for you.
And Alzheimer's together.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Why can't we appreciate
it? They loved it, you know? I mean, why wouldn't you want to do that, you know?
I got a nice picture of her hanging over the brownie stone to kiss it.
Yeah, I was hanging upside down
by
kissing
the ankle.
Stone.
By the ankle.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's amazing. I mean, you got to you know, and I always believe it. The day we are born, God knows the day he's bringing us back.
Yeah.
And he hopes
May I tell
that
you what my Irish grandmother used to
say
of all of my incidences and problems and all that? My grandmother, who's passed away, she said, Bill, the reason you're still here is because God's not done with you yet. I don't know
That's
what the
right.
plan is for you. Nobody knows what the plan is, but you survive more things than other people, and that's because God's not done. But when God's ready, he'll take you home, Bill. Live your life like that, knowing it's not my choice.
Yep,
not my choice
right.
what's going to happen. He lived life fully.
Yep, that's true. Now, I don't know if you guys know. Did I tell you that Brownsburg called me? And out of 40 senators, they have a petition going. Out of 47 senators, they have 30 that signed this petition for this bill. And out of 160 representatives, they got 100 that signed this petition to get this goddamn bill passed. And, you know, I said to them, well, I hope you do it. You know, I hope I'm here when you do it, but if I'm not, I'm not. I hope you'll do it. You know, so that's where that's at. But tonight I'm a little kooky. I just got done taking some heavy-duty painkillers, so I might have to say goodnight, guys. But I'm the only one that can make this decision if I'm going to have the open-heart surgery. But I want to compare, you know, apples to apples and pears to pears, and then I'll make the decision,
right,
you know, when we're going to do it. So, but I'll tell you, I'm going to take a picture of this arm because it's black, totally
wow.
black. And my husband was a little bit scared. And
Wait, sorry. You had your arm amputated? They put a black person's arm on your body? What happened?
Yeah.
What did you say, Eunice?
Oh, come on. No, I didn't say that, Bill.
Sorry,
I
dear,
said
sorry.
Where they... where they did the heart catheterization, they don't do it in the groin at Brigham and Women's anymore. They do it in your arm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's closer.
It's closer to the heart.
Yeah.
And they screwed up doing it. Yeah, they screwed up doing it. And,
well, again, you're in my wife's... My wife prays a lot of people, but she is praying
yeah.
for you, too. You're in my thoughts and
well,
in my heart.
Yeah, I know. I know that, and I appreciate that. I really do. I really do. So
I don't know if
know,
Bill cares for you at all. I care for you.
Oh, okay. Phil, do you care for me?
Yeah. We got something.
He doesn't care for you as much as I care
for
you.
Well, we got a guy on deck here from Los Angeles mm-hmm. County, Phil. And he's kind of upset. And
well, let's put him on the air. 818-326. Tell us who you are, where you're calling from, please.
Hey, guys. This is Rick from Pirate Riders, Los Angeles. How y'all doing?
We're doing fine, Migo. We're doing fine. What can we help you with today, brother?
Yeah, I'm a little pissed off. You know, Saturday I lost my motor on my 2011 Rogue Glide, so I was on my girlfriend's Softail Deluxe with her 18s and picked her up at the gym in downtown L.A., you know, where all the big tall buildings are and your pipes kind of echo off all the concrete down there. And turned the corner and came up to Flower and 6th Street, and I'm about to make the left-hand turn. There's a car blocking the entire crosswalk. Pedestrians were going around this vehicle, and the cop was sitting there the third lane over, didn't pay no mind to that car, but as soon as I rolled up, all of a sudden I was the candy of the day. And I made my left turn, and he struggled to get around this car, lit me up, pulled me over, and got out of his car and told me, you know, you have a black license plate and you have loud pipes. I don't like how loud they sound. So he wrote me up for the plate and told me I have three choices if I want to keep my mouth shut. We can sign the ticket, he can take the plate, or he can make me sign the ticket and take the plate. Well, that license plate belongs to my girlfriend, the bike belongs to my girlfriend, and she's very partial to it because it's her first Harley, and her tattoo on her arm signifies that license plate number, so of course she wants to keep the plate. Well, it looks like it'll probably be a product up on the biker wall, and we'll have to go for a new license plate, but he didn't have any meter, any way to gauge the pipes. He didn't look for an EPA stamp. He wasn't checking decibels. He didn't even look at the pipes or take a picture. But he sure was fascinated by the license plate because I had it painted by a custom painter. I didn't do it myself in the garage. So it looked like it just came out of the prison manufacturer itself.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, long story short, I got a ticket. It's not a fix-it ticket. It's a appear in court ticket.
Okay. Because... altered the plate. You painted it.
Well, now, wait. Let me stop here for a second because, you know, I used to do a lot black plate with yellow numbers.
Right.
I used to paint that all the time.
But if it was originally a black plate, Bill, you could get away with that.
I used to do the blue plates. No, I guess I didn't find a cop smart enough to catch me on that an awful lot. Though. Okay, then.
Because the blue plate, the numbers
always
were
did
the
that
same.
Trick, yeah.
It was only six.
Well, let me put this by you guys and just ponder this for a moment. I know there's literally probably 60-some thousand cops in Southern California and a variety of a couple of hundred agencies, but how is one cop going to come up who doesn't ride a motorcycle or know anything about him tell me that that's not a 1960s Harley Davidson? It looks like a nostalgic vintage Harley when you look at it. It's the Softail Deluxe. It's black. You know, it looks like a vintage Harley. So without him running the plate, to find out that it's a 2007, the probable cause to pull me over is just because these guys are on the bandwagon to come after us in the first place.
The probable cause he used was your pipes to pull you over.
That was the first vision.
That, then when he got
that was
behind,
the legal way. Now he's got reason to pull you over.
That was
fuck
the probable cause.
Yeah, yeah,
now,
yeah.
Now when he saw the plate, that was his other reason to fuck with you. But give me the number, the violation, the vehicle code number he put on the ticket for
the
plate. And give me the vehicle
code. Yeah, it was 4464, the California vehicle code, which states.
Hold on.
4464.
4464.
Yeah.
It was just a short second on that. We're looking something up here to make sure.
Yeah,
we
that's okay.
Hey.
And then if you got a pencil and paper, the other one was a 27151 A of the vehicle code, which was the 95 decibel, exceeding the 95 decibel range, which.
Letting the cops be an expert in the field, even though when you take it to court, you can break that down because they're not a machine.
Right, and
they
you said 4464, correct?
I believe it's 4464.
Okay, we're having a difficult time looking up there.
I'm just going through the whole plate bingo.
It's because you're slow as molasses. That's always been your problem, for Christ's sake, you know?
Yeah, you got you for no plate. No person shall display upon a vehicle license plate altered from an original markings. Yeah, he's got you on that one. Yeah, that one you're going to pay for.
Now, so the original markings is, I would assume, also the paint, the color of it?
Yes, white. It was white.
Because it doesn't say finish, it just says markings.
Well,
so
I understand
would assume that. I would assume the markings to be the numbers themselves.
No. It's the background, which they call the border, and then the numbers are inserted into the border.
If anybody knows the law, Phil does.
Yeah, and then...
Okay, and then the other one, 2751?
Alpha.
27151 Alpha.
Okay, hold on.
First, you've got to understand the fact they pulled you over just because of who you are.
Were you wearing your colors?
I was wearing my cut. I'm white.
This is America, as we got to deal with. You can give up your cut, you can quit riding your motorcycle, but I wouldn't think of you much as a man if you did that. So, unfortunately, these things that we have to counter them all the frickin' time.
Mm-hmm.
Philip's going to read some more information in just a second here, but...
Okay. What kind of pipes do you have on that bike?
They're Vance and Hines shotgun pipes, which replace the stock system.
Okay.
Well, I was reading that Vance and Hines was just sued by the California Department or wherever the hell it was for $750,000 for selling illegal pipes in California. Suzuki was sued for $3 million. BMW motorcycle was just sued, or excuse me, not sued. BMW was just fined $95,000. And I think Yamaha was fined $1 million for letting these unauthorized pipes on the market. Now, Vance and Hines, if I recall, I don't have the information in front of me, they said they had on their boxes not to be used on public road, but California needs money, and they're going after them saying, you're making it, it's your responsibility. So Vance and Hines has already been sucked really hard. But it's not just Harley-Davidson in this case, it's Yamaha, Suzuki, and BMW, and probably somebody else I'm not aware of.
Okay. Hang on.
He's going to read something to you right now.
After 1985, it's 80 decibels, but that's also changed. It's gone up to 92 decibels. He's got you under the modification. It's not a simple 150. It's 151. So basically, he covered both violations with this one, because the provisions of section 27150 or exceeds the noise limits established for the type of vehicle in Article 2.5, which I already had that right here. Mm-hmm. Which 2.5 80 decibels, but that's 1995. This book is from 2009. It's pretty accurate, and I think the next year after that it was 92. It went to 92 decibels.
Philip, let me ask you something while I get everybody here. Don't we have friends of ours in San Diego who have machines that they can test?
Yes.
I wonder if they would be able to give them any information. Maybe can...
See, right here. For the purpose of Section 27200, the noise limit of 92 decibels shall apply to any motorcycle manufactured before 1970. And then after that...
It's up to 80, yeah.
It's up to 80, but after that, it went back to 92.
May I ask you, did he make any attempt to...
Did he stick a baton up the pipe?
That's what I was going to ask you. Did he stick anything up your pipe to see if there's any resistance?
No, well, he didn't even look at the pipes. He didn't search for any identification on the pipes. He was more interested in was the license plate. He took a flash picture and a non-flash picture of the license plate.
Okay, so...
Forget
about the plate. You're going to get jammed on the plate. You're going to pay that fine.
Yeah.
Because you altered it. And I don't know if you told him you painted it or had it custom painted, but you're going to eat that one. The one on the pipe ticket... Now, I sent you that stuff to read. Inside there's some links you can go to get the diagram to show you what's going on. But...
I printed it all out so I can read it at work tomorrow.
Okay. And like Bill said, if this guy knows, I don't know if he knows the pipes. I don't know how many tickets he's written. What you can do is send a public service request asking what's their policy, what's their procedure, how many tickets they've written last year and this year for loud exhaust. Not that guy, the whole department. They have 10 days to answer you. When is your court date?
October 1st.
Okay. So that gives you got plenty of leeway. Right now, the only problem, the only thing I suggest is if you send that to them, it's called a public service request, and if you go on my blog and type in the search box, public service or Freedom of Information Act or public service request, or you go on the police department, the CHP, you can print out their form, but you fill it out. But what you do when you fill it out is you have it notarized, and then you send it registered mail so someone signs for it. That way you get a receipt with the date and the time on it, and 10 days from that date and time, they have to answer you.
And license plate
so I suggest you do it as soon as possible.
I want to tell you, they already took pictures of that license plate, and I would like for you to have the judge take a look at the license plate and ask him, are the numbers clear to read? And then I would take my license plate in, and I would have the paint taken off it, put it back to stock condition, and show the judge, Your Honor, look at the license plate the way that it should be done in here. Looking at the pictures the officer took. It is clearly legible in both pictures, Your Honor. I didn't know I was doing anything wrong by just changing a color. The important thing is I thought the numbers were clear to read. If you look at his pictures he took, my numbers on the plate are clear to read. I have taken the paint off. I'm showing you the license plate right now. Can you still read the numbers? Perhaps the cop would say, and again, of course, his attitude, your attitude, he may say, well, you know, I can see you made an attempt to correct it. And, again, you weren't trying to hide the numbers because he can read it off the cop's picture. So this one case, maybe the cop taking the picture may help you in court. But you've got to be very careful picking your words on this one.
See, because here's the way this goes down since they started doing this, because if every police department in the country have eagerly jumped on the motorcycle noise abatement bandwagon. Not only is loud quickly becoming probable cause to detain passing motorcyclists,
mm-hmm.
ensuring that all passing motorcycles are not loud has become a reason to implement Motorcycle roadblocks, which, by the way, are unconstitutional in California.
Oh, I got something to tell you afterwards.
California passed the law in the first of the year, say we're not going to do it anymore. But
oh, I got to tell you something afterwards.
They're using the grants that they got this year. That's what they're using them for.
That's
they're not supposed to. They're breaking the law. But because everybody, 9 people out of 10 people, are going to just pay the ticket, it's going to keep going down that way until everybody makes a stand. Now, the 80 decibel limit is so arbitrary and unreasonable that it gives police a reason to stop and fine anybody. And as everybody already knows, these fines are a growing revenue source for cities and towns desperate for cash. They are in effect.
Absolutely.
They are in effect in the most lateral way, highway robbery. To me, I tell you a thousand times, Bill, the California court system, traffic court, is legalized extortion.
It's revenue.
It is.
It's revenue. Money rather than neurotics is the main reason why motorcycle noise abatement campaigns are picking up steam. There is money in motorcycle noise for police and politicians.
Easy money.
Now, if you've read the editorial section like I do of our city newspaper, have you seen those 5 articles about the motorcycle noise?
No.
Yes. There is also money in motorcycle noise in order to write the new California law and similar laws in cement.
No.
Police must have scientifically justifiable standard for measuring motorcycle noise. They must also have the equipment to make those scientific measurements. Now, I sent you this article to read, and this here tells you what it is, and it tells you what that town needs to do, because San Jose Police Department, their chief put on Vance and Hines shotgun pipes and all the city motorcycles that the cops
ride. But in January,
ride.
Vance and Hines was fined by everybody, so let's be aware of that.
But the bikes were last year's bikes, so they got
away
with it.
Let me ask this question. Do you have any other tickets pending right now?
No.
Besides these? Okay, good. A lot of times we have to talk to people about stretching them out, getting postponements and all that, so these tickets don't pile up on. And see, if these cops can give us tickets, they'll put your license away. What the hell good's a biker without his license? So the number one weapon the cops are going after is piling tickets on you until you get the license taken away. Therefore, Philip and I would have to talk to you about how to postpone until you get, like, maybe until even next year, so we get the existing tickets off before we get the new tickets.
Now,
that's another kettle pitch. I'll skip that.
Here's the other kick in this, Bill. The author of Scientific Procedures is an entrepreneur named Chris Real. He also makes the equipment, which our people in San Diego have. The new standard for measuring motorcycle noise is titled SAE J2825. SAE is used to be an abbreviation for the Society of Automotive Engineers, Bill.
Mm-hmm.
Automotive engineers are helping cops fuck the bikers. It's not a trademark for a profit company called SAE International. SAE sets numerous standards from ranging from socket sizes to the standard dimension of cargo containers. It leans heavily on independent contractors to invent standards. Chris Real, who owns a company called DPS Technical Incorporated in Upland, California, is the author of SAE J2825. For the last year since California Motorcycle Anti-Tampering Act was signed into law, Real has been teaching the procedures he invented to cops around the country. The training in California has been subsidized by the Office of Traffic Safety. Fuck them. The same state agency has also subsidized a campaign in Elk Grove, California, to see how much revenue police there can generate by writing motorcycle noise tickets.
It's a fucking gold mine.
It's right. The Elk Grove police may have been writing tickets for the last year. They don't write noise tickets for jackhammers or trucks. They only write noise tickets for motorcycles.
Mm-hmm. You ever heard a big semi back at, Jake Brakes and all that?
Well, you ever heard a guy? You ever heard
a jackhammer knock up the street?
An iron worker chipping steel?
Yeah, and they just say it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
It goes selective enforcement, right, brother?
Right. The main product is that he came up with now is the acronym for that is Law Enforcement Sound Measurement Kit. This kit includes a sound level meter, an ANSI-type Field 1 calibrator, 2 vibration tachometers, measuring tape, OVM testing data, Parker-Wrister probe, and case. It also includes certificates of calibration, personal protection equipment, and fuel carrying case, and an informational DVD. You guys aren't trained to use this thing.
No, not at all.
They give them a fucking DVD and tell them to watch the DVD.
They're not tested.
The typical kit for field enforcement purposes, which our friend in San Diego paid $3,100 for, and the last comment here, no highway robbers should be without one.
Yeah. We're going to stand, first of all, you got a patch on your back. That's why you get pulled over. The excuse they gave was your pipes were loud. They subsequently also found the license plate.
Yeah, and I want you guys to... I sent you a link just a few minutes ago, but I wanted to tell you about this. California has involved themselves, the DMV, in a legacy license plate program for the 50s, 60s, and 70s. And basically what it is you can order the yellow with black numbers, the black with yellow numbers, and the blue with yellow number license plates. If they receive 7,500 orders, prepaid orders, before January 2015, on each of those license plates, they will start production and deliver those 7,500 license plates to the first 7,500 people. And they're selling. California DMV is now in the business of allowing the people to order these license plates that I'm getting a ticket for right now. So I don't know where the numbers or the names or the laws are crossed, but I just live in a fee-based society, and everybody just wants my money. And right here, the cop last night told me they have the legacy license plate program in effect, but they don't make them for motorcycles. They're not going to do that. And clearly right here it says legacy license plates can be ordered for any year automobile, commercial vehicle, motorcycle, or trailer. So he was wrong in his book. He also told me last night I made a right turn on Flower before he pulled me over, which is impossible because Flower is a southbound one-way street. Sixth Street is an eastbound one-way street. I had to make a left turn. And he knows I had to make, and I corrected him last night. He goes, oh, yeah, you're right. He was the most incompetent cop I've ever met. Literally incompetent.
No, probably because you intimidated him. He didn't know which way to go. But what you need to do...
He was fixated on my license plate. He didn't care about anything else.
If he mentioned the legacy plates, he knew they didn't make them for motorcycles, so he set you up.
He did.
Also,
and I'm sitting here reading it right off the DMV website. And
may I ask you something, please?
Make a copy.
Do not correct an officer again.
Yeah.
If he writes a mistake on your ticket, it's to your advantage.
It's to your benefit.
The more he can step on it, something good to go. So I ask people again, I know you, but just don't. They make a mistake, that's our advantage.
What I want you to remember is this. Two words. Shut up.
Yeah.
You don't have to answer any questions. If he asks you for your license, registration, or proof of insurance, that's all you have to give him. You say... I choose not to answer any questions.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
If he gets cocky, you're trying to hide something, whatever, I do refuse to not answer any questions unless my attorney is present.
You know, I have a little hot rod Dynaglide, and I have saddlebags on it because I travel a lot. The police pull me over, and they want to look at my saddlebags. And I always say, I do not give you permission to look at my saddlebags. So they come up this stupid, are you trying to hide something? That has nothing to do with anything. You ask me a question, could you look at my saddlebags? I refuse permission to go my saddlebags. So now we got this little standoff. The point is, it's my saddlebags. I do not have to let them in my saddlebags. I'm not going to let them in my saddlebags. But they're going to keep pushing on you and pushing on you. But we have to expect this every time we go out, that we're going to be confronted. So you need, if you don't mind my saying so, you need to bring all your friends together and have little lectures, if you would, on how to deal with these officers that are out of control.
Just so you guys know, on the actual DMV the legacy license plate link, it has a picture of all three of those license plates. And directly above it, it has a counter that is constantly moving. And the yellow and black... Yeah.
No, I've seen that because I have a 69 Chevelle and I have a 73 El Camino that I want to get those plates for.
Yeah, now look at the black one with the yellow numbers. It says 4,224 orders. It's the most popular plate. Just so happens to be the same color that's on my girlfriend's bike.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people want stuff.
But, see, like Bill said, and like I told you earlier, you can take all that information with you. You can ask questions. You can play dumb and ask questions, okay? I didn't know. You can't. Nobody knows if you didn't know or didn't know, okay? Unless you said something to him, and he wrote it down that you said this, you're fucked. But if he didn't...
Well, he had a video.
He videoed your whole traffic stop?
I saw the video camera in the windshield, so I'm sure he was wearing a microphone.
You can subpoena that DVD. You can ask for a copy of that under the Freedom of Information Act.
Before you go to court.
Before you go to court.
Okay.
So you've got to, when we have the police stations,
we let
drive
somebody
our motorcycle.
Know so we're coming to our bikes.
We ride our bikes up to the front door. We walk in, and again, Philip and I have to do this fine line between we need to identify the problem, we need to come up with a solution. I can't be attacking these police, yet I cannot be a victim. So what we're trying to do is find out from the police officer, is this your policy? And if he says, well, no, then we say to the watch commander, is this your policy for this officer's doing?
Well, no.
Then we go on to the chief of police.
No. We go to one guy in between the chief of police and that guy. We go to the internal affairs guy. That's the guy I turn all my complaints into.
Somebody has to be accountable. And we're not trying to threaten these people. We're telling them, you're doing this. We need to know who's authorizing. Who's responsible for this here? Somewhere along the line, we want you to say yes. I'm telling the officers to do it. Every time this gets bogus, you have to be at the police station. You have to walk in. You have to be, you know, no swear words. You got to be somewhat cool. You got to play their game, but you've got to confront them every single time, or else they're just going to keep taking more and more advantage of us. Philip and I, people want us to take care of everybody. You're strong enough a person, I can tell by listening to you. You can take care of your own business, but you need to talk to your other friends, too, and tell them when this situation arises, besides going to court, go down to the police station, sheriff's department, local PD, whatever you have, sit down and say, I want to know why is this going on. Make them explain this to you. They don't want to discuss this at all. But if you don't confront them, they'll keep abusing it.
Right. You can call up and make an appointment with the watch commander.
Yep.
Invite him for a cup of coffee or whatever.
Wear a tape.
Record it. I mean, we sat in a room with a guy. He had on a winter coat with a fur lapel. It's 85 degrees in there, and I could see the red dot in his lapel. But they weren't recording us.
No.
The machine wasn't running in the ceiling, and the door was locked when we went in there. They locked us in. So
every time we're being confronted with the police, it's a... They're not recording us, but they're lying through their teeth.
Right. I mean, we got a guy right now that's writing tickets for sunglasses because the thick brim that runs down the side of your head to your ears blocks your peripheral vision.
Instead of a half inch, he's writing.
There's no.
How would you like to deal with that bullshit?
There's no vehicle code number for that. He's writing it under. He's writing it under the windshield one.
How about a DOT helmet? How about your bike's completely legal? You're riding down the road. You got a half shell DOT helmet. But the width of your eyeglass frame, or whatever the hell it's called, thing, it's like about a skosh too wide. He's pulling us over left and right. So we all have to deal with this. It's how we're going to deal with it.
Right.
It's how you're going to deal with it in San Jose. It's how we're going to fight here in North County. But it's so easy that so many people say, I don't want to deal with this. I'll pay the ticket. I can tell by your voice you're not going to lay down and take this shit. But you need to have people involved and saying, we have to... Not in an adversarial way, but in a confrontational way. But please, why are you... Tell them why you're doing this. They don't want... It's like you pick a rock up, and a whole bunch of cockroaches run everywhere. They don't want to be in the light. It's the same thing, boys and girls. These people do not want to be in the light if they have to explain why they're doing it. But if we don't confront them, they'll keep doing it.
Right. Because, you know, Bill, you know, back in the day... 82-inch shovel heads made, what, about 70 horsepower out of the box? Still?
Ish.
Right? Brand-new 82-inch twin cams, they make about 58 horsepower.
Yeah.
Okay? So the reason for the decrease in the modern bikes is intentionally, they're all set up by the factory to sell you more parts. They must run poorly in order to meet their mileage, noise, and pollution standard abatements.
There's not a single twin cam out there that runs as cool as an Evolution motor.
No.
Now, I run a twin cam because I have a new bike, a relatively new bike in there. But my brother, Mike Kennedy, he runs an Evo, and he runs his Evo up to Canada and down into Mexico. We check the bikes out. My new bike is constantly running hotter than his old bike.
Right.
Old bike, 1998, 99, you know.
No, because... Well,
they're making these bikes here pieces of shit.
They call it the Harley tax. Oh. Is what, you know, we all have to pay to let the engine breathe.
You remember when they stopped making the Dynaglide? I bought one of the first. Excuse me, they stopped making the FXRs. I bought one of the first Dynas. And 105, I was picking up a lover.
I brought the first Dyna. You followed suit on me. Because remember, I went and got mine first. You were jealous.
What was it? 19, what?
No, it was 2000
and 2001. No. After, what was the last Dynaglide? What was the last FXR was made? Way back.
Oh, 94.
Yeah, way back. Yeah, right, they made dyes with that. Keep smoking that, you know. You'll be fine, buddy. puff, pass.
Hey, guys.
Okay. I want to say... I called up the factory.
Oh, go ahead.
Hello?
You got to go?
Yeah, I got to
go. Okay,
sweet.
You take care,
All right. I just wanted to tell you how my son made out. He was found not guilty of everything.
Good. Outstanding.
Okay. Listen, I'll let you guys know next week. I don't think it'll be Tuesday, but, you know, probably Thursday. All right?
Okay.
Nice to meet you guys.
Eunice, we got some new surprises coming up down the road. We'll talk about that another time, though. Anyway, get back to the FX. I called. I bought a Dyna back in the days, Evolution Dyna. I'm about 105. I'm getting a wobble. The dealership can't help me. I called the factory, and they said, well, the FXR frame, of course, is made so much better. The Dynaglide frame is not made. And I said, well, but 105, I'm picking up a wobble. Not a major wobble, but a wobble. This is what the factory told me. Are you ready? Don't go that fast.
Right.
Don't go that fast. I have an older FXR. I can do that speed. I have a newer Dyna. Now, I can't go that fast. You shouldn't be going that fast. That's where we're making those bikes, so they can't go that fast. I'm paying more money for a new bike. It's not as good as my old bike.
I know.
That's the way it is, boys and girls. Planned obsolescence and bullshit. And I'm going to... for God's sake, why can't we get a Harley built in America? What the hell's going on here? What the hell is Harley doing starting a hog chapter in China, those communist bastards?
Yeah. But
I deviate, sorry.
Well, it's all about money, but aside from the 27151 and the 4464 vehicle codes, I've got to be signing off in about a minute. I've got someplace I've got to be. I wanted to remind you that we have... started up the Bikers Ride for Cancer again. It is October 13th, a Sunday, here in Los Angeles. It's a poker run. We're doing a poker run this year. It starts at Los Angeles Harley-Davidson of Anaheim. We roll to Glendale Harley. We go to Deus Ex Machina Motorcycle Shop in Venice. We end up at Bartels, and then our last stop is Eagle Rider in Hawthorne. It's a full day of poker run, music, food, poker run prizes. We've got Emilio Rivera who's riding with us. We've got live bands, DJs. We're going to have a good time that day raising money to help cancer patients while they're going through treatment. So Sunday, October 13th, 9
a.m. Make sure you send me
the
flyer.
I will.
Let me ask you quickly, I don't have my calendar in front of me. Am I back from Las Vegas by that weekend, or when am I in Vegas? Does anybody know? The Bike Fest in Vegas. Where are you?
It's the 4th through the 7th.
Oh, no, we're okay then. Okay, never mind. All right, we're fine.
Yeah, and then the week following our Bikers Ride for Cancer is the annual Love Ride, as everybody knows.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're going to be there the week prior at Glendale Harley, and it's going to be a real good time.
Okay.
And anybody listening in Los Angeles, come over to Glendale Harley on Saturday. We're doing the Booze Fighters 101 poker run Saturday.
Yeah, I got a flyer for that.
I think I'm tuckered out.
Okay, if you have any questions, you know where you can get my cell phone number there.
But share that information with all your friends, too. Only by getting educated can we not beat these people, but we have to live with them. But only through education will we survive.
And if you go on the website, you type in Freedom of Information Act or public service request. It'll tell you exactly how to do it. It'll also tell you how to write a complaint.
Yeah, you can't afford bringing lawyers in. You got to start learning stuff ourselves. Lawyers too much.
Yeah,
money.
I know. Exactly. Okay, guys. Have a great evening.
You too.
Take care.
All right, pal. Good night. Seem all right, people.
Yeah. No, he's a good guy.
Yeah.
He's a good guy.
You met him before?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You met him too.
Where are we at?
Bad Ride.
Okay, good.
Because, I got this article the other day, Bill. The Art of Being Seen on Your Motorcycle. Announce your presence.
Ooh, I got to tell you something. Good.
Go ahead.
Thank you. If I don't say it now, I'm going to forget it. Sorry for interrupting you. What do you think happened to the city of Oceanside today on Mission Avenue going west, going eastbound from like 12 o'clock till 3:30?
Checkpoint.
For what, do you know? Smog.
Yeah.
Cars, trucks, motorcycles, a smog checkpoint in the middle of the afternoon, the busiest city in downtown Oceanside here. Everybody's getting
top of the
smog.
Hill or bottom of the hill?
Bottom of the hill.
Bottom of the hill. Nowhere
yeah.
to go. You can't
Nowhere
turn right.
to go.
You can't turn right and you can't turn
Major
left.
Set traffic backed up, doing a smog check on every vehicle.
That's why, yeah,
what
that's why them people were standing on the overpass at 5 saying, keep going,
yep.
76.
That's right.
Now I know why that guy was standing out there with the bullet, with the poster.
Unbelievable. Smog checks. Everybody. They want, it's revenue.
Mm-hmm.
Just revenue, boys and girls.
And if something was wrong, they confiscated it.
Quite.
They were in cahoots with the tow companies today. But we got a guy listening, and his name is Sam Crow.
Sam Crow's listening, huh?
Yeah. So if,
one of the originals or what?
No. Well, we'll let him tell his story. But we're also going to make an announcement when we talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
So let's. If Sam's ready, I'm going to play a song because I got to go take a piss. I'm going to play.
No, that's just great. That's
yeah.
just great. You're putting some of our delicate listeners with
that's
that.
That's okay. I'll tell the truth. I got to go. So Sam,
take the tweezers and the magnifying
glass.
We're
going to have a little Kid Rock all summer long, and then,
yeah,
and then we'll bring you
stay
out.
Stay with us on this, boys and girls. It might be some fun coming down the road. And I like this song. Talking You know, I like that song. He talks about 1989. Well, I'm a little like 1969 for myself, but I like the concept and all that, you know. No internet, but playing in a sandbar.
Yeah, somebody asked me.
Playing with their beautiful hair.
Somebody asked me how to send you an email today.
Oh, put it in an envelope, I guess.
No, I started right. I said, Bill thinks the computer's the devil. So if you want to get a hold of Bill with an email, send it to me.
There's a lot of bars in California. Probably just leave a message at any bar. They'll catch me.
Yeah.
Any major bike run.
Yeah.
Or more important, drop a message in Phil's ear. That'll get back to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that I don't like talking to people. I just want to talk to people in person.
Yeah.
I want to see your face. I want to hear the sound of your voice when you talk to me. I don't like messages at all. And that's my prerogative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I sent him a chat message.
Uh-huh.
'Cause he's in the chat room. And he's right there, but I don't know if he's listening or if something happens, but I could call him, but I want to find out first.
Yeah.
So let me send him a text.
Uh-huh.
Somebody asked me about the American Dream the other day with George Carlin, so let me play that while
okay.
I try and get
all
over.
Right.
But there's a reason. There's a reason. There's a reason for this. There's a reason education sucked. It's the same reason that will never, ever, ever be fixed. It's never going to get any better. Don't look for it. Be happy with what you got. Because the owners of this country don't want that. I'm talking about the real owners now. The real owners, the big wealthy business interests that control things and make all the important decisions. Forget the politicians. The politicians are put there to give you the idea that you have freedom of choice. You don't. You have no choice. You have owners. They own you. They own everything. They own all the important land. They own and control the corporations. They've long since bought and paid for the Senate, the Congress, the state houses, the city halls. They got the judges in their back pocket. And they own all the big media companies, so they control just about all of the news and information you get to hear. They got you by the balls. They spend billions of dollars every year lobbying to get what they want. Well, we know what they want. They want more for themselves and less for everybody else. But I'll tell you what they don't want. They don't want a population of citizens capable of critical thinking. They don't want well-informed, well-educated people capable of critical thinking. They're not interested in that. That doesn't help them. That's against their interests. That's right. They don't want people who are smart enough to sit around the kitchen table to figure out how badly they're getting fucked by a system that threw them overboard 30 fucking years ago. They don't want that. You know what they want? They want obedient workers. Obedient workers. People who are just smart enough to run the machines and do the paperwork and just dumb enough to passively accept all these increasingly shittier jobs with the lower pay, the longer hours, the reduced benefits, the end of overtime, and the vanishing pension that disappears the minute you go to collect it. And now they're coming for your Social Security money. They want your fucking retirement money. They want it back so they can give it to their criminal friends on Wall Street. And you know something? They'll get it. They'll get it all from you sooner or later because they own this fucking place. It's a big club, and you ain't in it. You and I are not in the big club. By the way, it's the same big club they use to beat you over the head with all day long, where they tell you what to believe. All day long, beating you over the head in their media, telling you what to believe, what to think, and what to buy. The table is tilted, folks. The game is rigged. And nobody seems to notice. Nobody seems to care. Good, honest, hardworking people, white collar, blue collar, doesn't matter what color shirt you have on. Good, honest, hardworking people continue. These are people of modest means. Continue to elect these rich cocksuckers who don't give a fuck about them. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't care about you at all. At all. At all. Yeah. You know? And nobody seems to notice. Nobody seems to care. That's what the owners count on. The fact that Americans will probably remain willfully ignorant of the big red, white, and blue dick that's being jammed up their assholes every day. Because the owners of this country know the truth. It's called the American Dream. Because you have to be asleep to believe it.
Can't get any better than that, Bill.
You know, George is trying to tell us, wake up, smell the coffee.
That's from 10 years ago.
I know. And it's more important today than any day at all. I've mentioned to you before that if my grandparents were both dead, if they were to waken up magically, they'd look around and they wouldn't know this is America.
No.
They wouldn't identify anything at all.
No. And
it goes back to our all these wonderful young men and women we have overseas fighting, and Philip and I are former military. We are pro-military all the way. I just kind of wish I knew what
schooling,
the hell.
We were just schooling two guys at the counter yesterday.
That's right. That's right.
But, Nora.
Yes.
Hi, Nora.
Hello, Nora.
Hi. How are you?
Good. I want you to sit down and hold on to your hat. Because Bill and I are going to make
hold on to her hat. Is that code between the two of you?
I don't have a hat. I don't wear a hat.
Your tinfoil hat.
Because, okay.
Bill and I was approached. I was approached yesterday. I got left a message, and Bill and I are going to be doing on Wednesday nights. It's going to be called the Sam Pearl Radio Show.
I just saw the page and went on the website there. How cool is that? I didn't know that you two would be on there, but I saw the page. Very awesome.
Yeah, and if you saw the one with Katie Segal. Bill pointed out the fact that I'm on the left and he's on the right.
So you see the picture there. It says Sam Crow Radio Show host Phil Hennigan and Bill Kennedy. I really want to reply again. The person on the left is Phil Hennigan. The person on the right, that's what Bill Kennedy looks like. I'm just trying to
point
out.
Oh, man. Yeah,
so
well,
that
40
means
years.
I can chime in on it?
You can chime in on it.
We're going to be having the watching the show the following night.
Hold on,
we're
going to
be dissecting the show.
Melanie is on there now, and she says she has no sound. Okay, she got the sound. Yeah, if that happens again, Melanie, all you got to do is just hit refresh.
Hit refresh, Melanie.
And Bill and I say hello to you.
Hey.
We'll send you a little wave here right now, and then you'll see the little guy smoking. We send you a wave with that, too.
We see the wave now. I didn't know that before.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about the show a little bit, because we'll see the show the night before.
Right.
And then we would like for all of our friends to watch the show, and then call in, and we will dissect the show. We'll talk about what is important to make the show a better show.
We're not going to tweak on a better show, because it can't get any better than that. We can make suggestions.
Our listeners can make suggestions.
Exactly.
And so we can push the information on to the
forward.
People.
Forward.
Hopefully that we can get different members of the cast
on the show.
We're going to try now to have them on the show so everybody can call
and
in
I'll
and talk to them directly.
I'll see most of those guys on the 25th of this month, which is a Sunday, at the Boot Ride.
The Boot Ride.
It's going to be at it's going to be up at the Happy Ending Bar.
Hollywood Swingers.
Yeah.
Can we say the beginning yet, or is that still hold off on that one? Part of the run.
No, go ahead.
Actually, I don't know that it started to run yet.
Oh well, no, you can't ride with the if you paid the money to ride with the cast.
Yeah.
It's being kept a secret.
That's where you get okay. Yeah.
Okay, but when they get to where the one place is,
mm-hmm.
then everybody intermingles.
Comes in right,
little heat,
yeah.
Little picture taking.
Or just go up to Hollywood and find
right.
Phil hanging out there at the Happy Ending. Doesn't that sound like a massage parlor?
Yeah.
Philip, is it a massage parlor?
No.
All
park.
Right. I haven't
it's
been up
park.
There. I haven't been
park.
Up there. You
it's
like
nice
that
place.
Hollywood stuff.
I've been there. It's a nice place.
Good.
Melody, we do fix the sound, but it depends on the link that you're in. If you went off the page on Facebook, you just have to refresh it, and the sound will come back. Heads up, still no sound. Yeah. Well, and I can't tell her what to do. Because you got no sound.
You got no sound.
But, let's see if I send you this.
Well, again, we're hoping that our friends and everybody that calls in is our friend. Whether you agree with us or disagree, we certainly don't want you to just agree with us all the time. But we're hoping you'll be asking poignant questions. Again,
Before you lose the sound again. What you need to do, Melody, is depending on where you got it from, if you got it off Facebook, you just need to refresh it. Sometimes because of the traffic on Facebook, it knocks it off. So if you just refresh, it should be fine. But, yeah, getting back to this, Bill.
She goes sounding good.
Yeah.
So if we can get, and we don't know yet, this is all still up in the air, but we're trying to pull this together here. If
well,
we get different guests.
Here's the deal, Bill.
Listen up, everybody. This is a formal program, right?
Here's how I wanted this to work. We're going to do a couple of shows before the premiere of the show, which is September 10th. At 7 o'clock on the East Coast, 10 o'clock on the West Coast on the FX channel. What we're going to do is Wednesday, around 6, maybe an hour, hour and a half, depending on how it goes.
Mm-hmm.
We'll do two shows before the premiere to get everybody knows where to go and what to do. Then we'll do the premiere show. Now, if you remember, I was asked to do that live show at the bar downtown.
Right.
So I'm thinking if I do the live show, tape it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we play that Thursday. Wednesday, I'll put it out there where I'm going to be. And I don't want to say the name of the place yet, but where I'm going to be. So we don't have assholes up the wazoo over there. Spoil our fun. And then I'll talk to the crowd.
Philip has stalkers, that's why.
Yeah. They're in black and white cars. They were in black and white cars. They come in pairs.
Yeah. Some of us do have stalkers. Some of them are just nasty.
So what we're going to do is I'll interview some people and stuff, and then
mm-hmm.
I'll pass out the information for Wednesday,
mm-hmm.
and we'll talk about the show.
Yeah, I think the secret is whether or not all of our friends that are listening will be want to become active in the show. And then if they can call in and speak to some of the guests that are on the show,
right.
some of the actors, I think that'll give us more credibility. Because surely by now you're all tired of listening to Bill and Phil. But I think that if we bring actors into the show, people might be kind of interested, you know?
Right.
We're friends with them, but you and I, we got some friends we like. We like some actors better than other actors. Let's
mm-hmm.
put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
They're all good people. We've never had to disagree with any of them up there, the parties we go to. But Phil and I both have our favorites. You see me hanging out with one actor more so than Phil hanging out with the other. It's just a... That's her personality.
Okay. I just got a text back, Bill.
Uh-huh.
And he said he's going to be on the phone for another 20 minutes, maybe.
All right.
And then he'll call in after that. So I said, okay, call in. And Melody, why don't you just pick up the phone? The number is 347-826-7753. 347-826-7753.
And where is Melody calling from?
L.A. area.
L.A.
And,
did you get that Spanish accent?
L.A.
You know.
No, L.A.
What's sadder than a white guy trying to speak Spanish? You know, it doesn't work, folks.
But
it doesn't
a Mexican
work.
Trying to speak English.
I'm trying. Phil and I down in Mexico, we were there a couple of weeks ago, and...
I had no problem.
You know,
I had no problem.
Well, you speak it much more fluent than I ever do.
You had to start pointing at shit.
You know, my Espanol is so bad, but I look good. No, that's... I don't know.
Well...
Even when I know the words, I say the wrong accent, so that's not really...
Nora, did you have any... Nora, why don't you ask Bill some questions about Mexico?
What would you like to know about Mexico, little girl?
Besides the pictures that you got
to see. I want to know so much. But what can you tell me that's fine to say on the radio?
Everything's fine to say on the radio.
We have no sponsors.
We have no sponsors.
The government is never going to be able to shut us down. You're our friends, and whatever you have to say, we want to listen to it.
Exactly.
Whether we agree or disagree, we can discuss that. Communication, dialogue between two people. But don't you ever feel for a second that you're restricted from saying anything. With Phil and I,
right.
That's how important you are
okay.
to us.
Okay, well, now, how was the turnout?
Oh, we can't talk about that.
Okay.
I don't think she's talking about
the
turnout.
Oh, okay. Oh, that turnout.
Yeah.
Oh, the turnout was good.
You're talking about the numerical digits, is that correct?
Right.
Okay.
Good.
Well, we went down in
so
a lot of kids
were able to receive a lot of things.
Oh, yeah, yes. They had bicycles and they had toys. And
they had three semi-trailers.
It was a...
Wow.
You got to understand about, you know, politics.
Yeah, politics.
Just because these kids are born on the other side of the fence, and they're just
right
down the street from tonight, they're kids. They don't know about who's running for election. They don't know who the president of America is. They don't know who the president of Mexico is. They don't care. They're kids. So when Phil wants to hear from, why are you helping foreigners? Man, why don't you back off? We're helping kids. And,
well, what I want to do is I want to help for next year's one, but I need to know ahead of time so that way I can donate, get a shirt, be cool, can't be there, but I would be in spirit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's up to Phil or you to let me know in advance that way I can get things situated.
Put it this way. You got at least 11 months.
Okay.
They have not set a permanent date. It'll be around the same time, more or less. So once we get confirmation of that, we can pass that information on to you. But basically, it's going to be Mexico, the same orphanage, same, you know, so. But I don't think they've got, pretty much the promoters and everybody involved, they're exhausted from putting this program on. So they'll be using several weeks of just rolling back, relaxing. Philip and I work.
It's also the 10-year anniversary next year, Bill.
We work with a company called Rolling Deep for Charities out of L.A. That is the big cheese who is really coordinating, dotting the I's and crossing the T's, helping us. Well, we got to Mexico, and we had all the federales lined up. All the federal police were lined up. Now, across the border, they were there to escort us. They weren't there to give us tickets. They were to tell us, no stop signs, no traffic lights, do not stop for anything. You have the federal police all the way. In Mexico, they don't have red lights, they have blue lights, like Kmart special.
Only the whorehouses have red lights.
So if you're in Walmart or Kmart, Kmart's got the blue light special, that's what it looks like going down the road with the Mexican cops. But they escort us all the way down. Now, when we were coming back, because we know that people were, well, we woke up in the morning, some people were sleeping in the street underneath their bikes because they were so polluted. But we left at noon, gave all the drunks a chance to get rid of their hangover, and who was waiting for us, Philip? Federal police again.
Federal police.
Escort all the way back.
Well,
to the
they were waiting for you. I didn't leave when you did. I stuck around for a little while, but yeah, we had a good time. Any other questions there, sweetheart?
No, give me a little juicy question. I don't mind answering it.
How did the web t-shirt contest go?
Very good.
Well, we had two sisters.
No, they were not. Yeah, two sisters. You're correct. They were twins.
They were twins. She can go online and see the pictures, can't she?
Yeah.
You need to take a look at the pictures and realize that I don't think Mexican girls have anything to do with silicone because I don't think they need silicone. The two girls that were like first and second, but even if it was all silicone, we guys wouldn't have cared. But these were just two natural Mexican girls, the two sisters that came in there and blew everybody else away. And it was tight.
Yeah.
No, I didn't say they were tight. I said the contest was tight for them.
Yeah,
the
one part was that the fact that, let's see, is this Melody?
Hello.
Hey, how
Hello,
are you?
Hello, Melody.
This is A1.
Good, how are you?
Good.
We're doing okay tonight.
Good.
And we got Sifu Mike. Well, what we're doing now is I'm waiting for we were waiting for a guy to call in, and he's on the phone for another 20 minutes. So Bill and I kind of we didn't wait for him. We made the announcement because what we're gonna do on Wednesdays is we're gonna have this show, and it's gonna be Sam Crow Radio. And what we're gonna we're gonna talk about.
You people are gonna call in with questions. People are gonna be the essence. We'll talk about their show. We're going to have guests of the show on the air, so you can call and speak directly to the guest, because like I said, I know you're getting burnt out listening to Philip and I. So we'll have on the air talking about the different episodes and what the purpose is. You guys
sounds
think that
like
might sound okay?
Oh, yeah, 100%. Sounds good.
And Mel, I don't want you to get confused now. Bill, if you saw the picture where it says Sam Crow Radio with your host, me and Bill.
Have you seen that picture yet?
Have you seen that picture yet?
I seen Sampro's the photo on Sampro's wall.
Right.
Okay. Do you see the person
Sampro
on the
radio
left?
Show? Yes, I see it.
Listen to that. Bill's gonna explain to you who's in that picture.
Hey, can you see where it says and host Phil Hennigan and Bill Kennedy? Can you see that line?
I don't. I'm on a different page. I'm on Sampro's page now.
It's on Sam Crow's page. It's the picture for the top of the page. Anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, now where it says the line, host Phil Hennigan and Bill Kennedy. Can you see that line?
Looking. Sorry, I'm on my phone looking.
Okay. All right, well, if you've seen the picture, you know it's Katie Sagal and Charlie Hunan.
Mm-hmm.
But according to Bill, the way it's written...
Look, there's two people in the picture. One's on the left, one's on the right. If I'm reading the show, host Phil Hennigan. That would make you the one on the left.
Mm-hmm.
And Bill Kennedy, I'm on the right. So, obviously, that's what people want to know. What does Phil look like? He looks like Katie. What does Bill Kennedy look like? Look at what it says right in front of you.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, just say Katie says, host Phil Hennigan, the guy on the left there.
I was just chatting with Sam for a little while ago.
Yeah.
All right.
Hey, Mike, are you there?
I'm here, bro. How you doing?
You got to save me from this guy, man. You got the picture, right? You saw the picture?
Yeah, it's on the cover page, yeah.
One on the left and one on the right. Come on, don't make it difficult, Philip.
Yeah, you know.
I'm
going to
get a haircut.
My hair.
Phil is way uglier than she is. So I don't know about that.
Well, yeah, but Bill doesn't look like Charlie. Of course, he says he does, but he doesn't.
I'm Charlie's grandfather.
He's got the long hair to go with that picture, so I don't know. I'm going to.
You know, we
got to
say.
We're
doing it.
That's a tough one.
How you guys been? Good?
Look, I want to tell you that one of our friends of ours was in a very, very severe motorcycle accident, and for 8 years he's fought to keep his leg. And the past week he came in and they agreed to cut the leg off, but just mostly to get the poison out of his body to give him a chance. He actually had a Harley Davidson with the sidecar 8 years ago when he had the bad leg. They decided to cut the leg off because it gave him the chance to get the poisons out of his body. He's lost 40 pounds in here. But I want a point I want to make out to you, and I hope you can appreciate this. This friend of ours has got martial art degrees, belts, up the gazoos. So he came into my shop on one leg and crutches, lost 40 pounds, beat up, tired. And I said to him, his name is Mike also, by the way. I said, Mike, I'm going to ask you something now, and I want your honest opinion. With your martial art training and the fact you've lost a leg and the fact you lost 40 pounds, you just came out of the hospital, and with my martial art training, can I kick your ass? And he said, Bill, even if I lose one more arm, do not make that mistake. There's so many parts of my bodies which are weapons, and I was going home, I thought about you the other day about that. He didn't say it to be braggadocio. He was just saying, no, Bill, I have trained my whole life, plus nerve endings and everything.
Here's the thing, the misconception anymore, like everybody likes MMA and all this kind of stuff, but they fail to realize that a true martial artist has trained in a system that is a complete system. That means
it's
about protecting your temple at all costs. It doesn't matter. There is no rules.
Right.
And so the guys that train in MMA, I like watching MMA. It's all great. And it's still a sport with rules, you know.
Right.
I always got two or three blades on me. It's about protecting your temple. A true martial art, especially, you know, a guy that has a true master level or black belt in an art, he understands at all levels, at all costs. Now it's up to him to commit to that level.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You know, not everybody has a heart or understanding of that. Now me, I'm always going home.
Yes.
At any time, you know, I'm always going home. you know, so it's just...
Right, never mind the missing a leg, Bill. I could probably miss both arms, too, and you still would end up a bad... You'd end up sad, Bill. You know, you said about MMA, and I want to point out to you, and of course, we watch MMA out there. Philip and I have some of our good friends fighting now. But back in the day, Philip and I used to go down to Tijuana. There was a nightclub down there called the Baby Rock, and we watched the early fights, hair pulling, eye gouging, kneecapping to the head, strikes to the groin. It was vicious, and these Mexican fighters...
And that was just the women.
The Mexican fighters...
Even the bare knuckles and stuff like that, man, the stuff that, you know, we used to do up in Canada and this and that, it's like... Hey, they wanted to see. There wasn't no light contact.
That's right.
It was like they wanted to see full force. Even the full contact. You remember the video game Full Point? You know what I mean? The full contact karate. You know, if you didn't hit somebody and like blacken their eye or something like that, even in the point karate back then, it didn't count. And so it's like, you know, the sports today of the sport karate isn't near as like as hard as it used to be, you know the Kaji Kempo. I mean, it was more full contact even in the sports system. You know, we do the stick fighting and everything else. They wanted to see, you know, blood in a match.
You know, Mike, I'm having a brain fart for a second there. Tell me the name, if you could, of one of the best street fighters from the 1970s, big, heavy-set white guy, street fighter. Can you... Shit, if I say his name, you'll know it. He tried to get into martial art, too, but he was too much out of shape. He used to be down there in Mexico all the time, too. It's right at the tip of my tongue. I can't... Shit.
And he was...
Well,
and
anyway...
He was go ahead.
Go ahead, say what?
And he was from... Where was he from?
It was America, but I don't know which state it was. But he was always out here street fighting, non-sanctioned fights, going into Mexico fighting. Heavy-set white guy. Anyway, the point I'm making is, I guess, we in Mexico had fighters from all parts of America before there were laws. I remember one fighter came running out from a town in Mexico called Ensenada. He ran across the room with an axe kit, broke the guy's collarbone, and he tried to put... the gi, and the Mexican fighter try to keep fighting. Unbelievable.
Yeah, I love that.
That was the day.
You know, it's like I did a deal. You know, we were so, you know, growing up, I mean, we were so poor, you know. We used to give blood and hitchhike to different states and use that money for entry fees. So we'd give blood or somebody else would give blood twice or something. And, you know, that was just the fun times.
I'm always worried about the Mexican hospitals, they told
they're
me...
They're better now, Bill. They're
better now. About back in the day when I was down there. They told me that if an American fighter was hurt, pretty much 20, 25 minutes, they'd get him across the border to America, and then about 10 more minutes get him to an American hospital. But it wasn't...
That's awesome.
Oh,
hey, I got to teach class. Hey, you guys, I just want to say hi. I haven't talked to you for a while and hope everything's going good with y'all and I'll try and give you stay in touch a little more. And keep up the good work. I'll I'll try and tune into one of your Sam Crow deals.
Don't go anywhere. Tell us again who you are. What's your studio? Where are you teaching class at? What city? What state? Give us some information. Plug yourself, brother.
Good idea.
Sifu Mike Mather. It's in Warrenton, Oregon, on the coast. It's a pro fitness center. If anybody wants to, you know, see it, it's pro fitness center, Mather Martial Arts, or Sifu Mike Mather on Facebook. You guys can look at it there and whatnot. But I'm all over the place. So, anyways, you guys. Take care. I appreciate the plug. I just want to say hi.
Thank you very much.
Right.
Good night now.
You take care.
All right. Take care, bro.
Boy's got a lot of skills, and he has no ego at all.
No.
You and I have noticed that friends of ours who are just way, way beyond us, they have no attitude, no ego.
No.
Because, again, who's going to hurt them? Who's going to hit them? It would be a mistake of their lifetime. We have friends of ours that open the door for people. They step aside. They don't want to fight. But honest to God,
well,
these friends... Well,
no, Bill, pieces for pussies. They can't fight.
Well, that's a good thing I'm saying. If somebody's stupid enough to take a swing at some of these boys, it's those soft-spoken guys. Watch out for them. Those guys yelling at your face, they'll kick your ass. Eh, they ain't going to do that much to you. Those guys that keep smiling at you.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the ones you got to watch out for. We have a good friend of ours up in San Fernando Valley. He goes by the name of Shane.
Right.
Certainly is a gentleman who's... and he is a gentleman. He
yes,
says one
he
of
is.
Those guys that has so much power, so much talent. Interesting young man. Former Navy SEAL and a martial art everything in there.
Good guy.
Yeah, good to have for a friend.
Mm-hmm. So, Mel, what do you got going on? How you doing?
I'm doing okay, keeping busy. Filming and writing and working. Yeah.
Good. Good. So you
going
to the
Blue Guys? Looking forward to the next... Oh, yeah. Am I going
to
see you there?
You can go to Mexico with us, wussy.
No, I was busy. I couldn't make it.
You could have come to Mexico with me. You can trust me, little girl.
I was busy working.
Are you going to Vegas?
I'm going to Bike Fest, yeah.
Okay. I'm staying
definitely.
In the same place.
You going to be there again this year?
No, I'm staying in the same place.
Nice. Got it.
And then we're leaving, what time were you leaving, Friday?
Probably Friday, yeah. Cheryl's going to ride down also with us, so a bunch of us are going down.
All right, well, make sure you get a hold of me.
I can't wait.
Sure. We'll meet you. We'll meet you on the border.
Got it.
Yeah, we got
perfect.
Some activities going on, which you may want to hook up with us, some interesting fun stuff. So, yeah, unless
good.
You're afraid a little bit.
I'll
yeah, unless you're
in.
Unless you're
afraid.
Yeah, we understand. Yeah.
You know me, I'm harmless.
Am I afraid? I
you
laugh
me.
In the eyes of danger.
Mexico, you come with Bill.
Yeah, you know you've met me. You know me. I'm the quiet, shy type. Bill's the guy you got to worry about.
Oh.
You're in trouble
yeah.
in Mexico. Bill is a good friend to have if you're in trouble in Mexico.
Well, hopefully there's never no trouble.
Honey, there's always trouble everywhere. It's how you deal with it. Well, more important, it's how you prepare
you
for it.
Yes,
Philip
sir.
And I, when we crossed the border, we had the federales, the federal police waiting for us, not to harass us, to escort us down there.
That's
oh,
right.
By the way, a small thing. I'm sitting at the big party at Papas and Beers, and the band starts playing, and the band... The lead guitar player is waving at me. I'm going, oh, what the hell is this guy? I don't know this guy. He comes over in bad English. He goes, Bill. And I go, oh, Jesus. It's Carlos Santana's cousin. He has a band down there in Tijuana. Who's going to be at the parties? And I tell you, if you close your eyes, he's as good as his cousin Carlos. Carlos's family are all from Tijuana, by the way. They're not Americans. They're not Mexican-Americans. They are Mexicans.
Right.
And Carlos's cousin is he's a regular at our parties, but I haven't seen him for a couple of years. So you
yeah.
never know what's going to happen in Mexico.
I could imagine. That's
yeah,
that's
yeah.
pretty cool.
So, you're gonna go to the boot ride. Are you
going to the boot ride? Every
are
year.
Are you on the ride or
year.
Are you just going to the party?
I'm on the ride always.
Yeah.
Okay. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, I got a little entourage coming with me, so a lot of
yeah.
them can pony up.
Same.
Yeah,
same here.
Yeah, they couldn't pony up the dollars to go on the ride, and I didn't.
Yeah.
Like last year, I didn't want to leave Ma and Lurch, so I'm not gonna go on the ride this year, even though I know which way they're going and stuff. But I already told somebody I wouldn't pump in on that. I'd meet him at the other place.
Phil's gonna
yeah.
end up at the bar. You know how to get to the bar?
No. Oh yeah, at the end, happy endings. Yeah.
Hey, let me ask you something.
Be careful now.
Is that a massage parlor? I want to know. Can you tell me?
What was that?
Is the happy ending, is that a massage parlor? Because it sounds like a massage parlor to me.
No, you'll see what it's about. You got to go to find out what it's about.
No,
I
and unfortunately that weekend,
parlor,
many
I have a
Philip and I sometimes go north and sometimes go south. We rarely actually get to be at the same party because,
together.
You know,
together.
Events going on, San Diego, events going inland, Mexico, up north. Philip loves the Hollywood crowd, but
come on down.
Vegas, we're together at the Humor Prison Run. We're together at some runs, but we have to diversify and split the group up. And
it depends, because sometimes I get invited places, and Bill gets invited other places, and then it's like we flip a coin.
Yeah. There is a patch party coming up, which people have really asked me to a lot. If you were there, Bill, blah, blah, blah. And Phil and I talked about it, and I know the people much more than Phil. So Phil's going to take care of this, and I take care of that, and Phil knows more of the Hollywood crowd. So we can't be everywhere. So by splitting up the way we do, we actually cover a lot of territory, you know?
That's correct.
Right. There you go. It's the way to do it.
Yeah. So did you get you had no more problems with your bike, right? Everything's good?
Everything's good. Yeah, good. Everything's good. Thanks.
Okay. Yeah, because, you know, Bill, last time I was at you were over at the hotel with Kathy.
And Mexico?
Vegas?
Vegas. Okay. Well, how do I know what you're talking about? All right, go ahead.
What was the name of that bar with all the bras hanging off the ceiling?
Hogs and Heifers.
My good friend owns that one, the girl, yeah.
I'm walking around, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden I hear a couple of bikes coming through the crowd, you know. So I stepped to one side, I turn around, it was Mel.
Coming through the bar or out through the
crowd?
No, through the crowd. Yeah,
so
yeah.
They actually went and parked and came back.
Uh-huh.
And we hung out till what, about 7, 8 in the morning.
Yeah, it was a blast. All the
Isn't that a great...
Yeah.
Did it rain last
great
year on us?
No, the year before.
Melanie, did it rain on us last year or the year before at the Hogs and Heifers?
The year before. Last year was perfect. Yeah.
You know,
and
I gotta tell you, when we left Mexico, we split up in different groups, and I went back a group of 300 people. And as usually, I ride in the front, but then I back up to the middle, then I back all the way in the back so I can see every bike. Not one problem, broke down, nothing. However, one person pulled off the side of the road in Mexico. Their bike was cutting out, crapping. I saw the look of sheer panic, fear. Oh, my God, I'm in Mexico. Oh, my God. I pulled alongside them and said, put your bike on reserve. They put the bike on reserve. We rode a few miles. I stopped into a Pemex gas station, and we were okay. But that's the only thing we had to deal with, so that's kind of a nice way to go. Sometimes flat tires and shit happens, but the look on this poor guy's face, oh, my bike's broke. Man, slow down. Put it on reserve.
Mm-hmm.
You got an old-fashioned Evolution motorcycle. Put it on reserve and let's ease on to the gas station. Calm down.
Yep. Not only that, they have a fellow biker with them. Nobody's left behind.
The lady was going to jump off the bike and get on mine. She'd leave it his ass.
You're on your
own. But we got it to the gas station and... filled up,
good.
And we caught back with the group before we crossed the border again, so it was okay.
Good,
Phil and I try
good.
To all the bikes out going down the road. Like, we'll be in the front, and then I may be in the left middle, then I'll go to the back, then I'll slide up on the right to the middle, and I'll go up to the front. If I can just keep an eye on most of the bikes, sometimes I can get someone to pull over before there's more of a problem. And I should ask all of your friends, please have them do what I call the pre-flight inspection and the post-flight inspection. Before these friends of yours are going on the boot ride, the week before, a couple days before, go over your motorcycle. You don't have to be a mechanic, but damn it, this is your motorcycle. You're the driver. It's your responsibility. If you have a couple of friends, Melanie, and they got like a questionable tire, tell them to stay home.
You do not
need somebody in the middle of the pack having a mechanical failure through ignorance and causing other people to go down. So I'm pretty hard-ass on that point there. Check your bike out. You don't have to be a mechanic, but for Christ's sakes, check the loose nuts and bolts. Check your spark plugs. Check your tires. Check your oil. And there's no lady out there, listen to me, that cannot do everything I said, and I take umbrage with those ladies say, oh, my boyfriend does it, my husband does it. Bullshit, that's his bike. Have him show you how to do it. In case of emergencies and all that, you're separated from your boyfriend, you need to be comfortable with your motorcycle. Philip and I will try to take care of help people where we can, going on our trips and all that. But again, if you're going out with some friends of yours, have a meeting with them before. You walk around looking at their bike. Everybody, have you had your oil changed in a while? Have you checked anything? Don't just jump on your bike and hit the button, and then 5 or 6 or 10 of you are broke down by the side of the freeway. No.
Yeah.
Okay, listen, I'm sorry that I got on my high horse. I'm back again. Sorry, everybody. I just worry about everybody.
He's right. He's right, because a lot of times we have 400, 500, 600, 700 people.
It's too much.
It's too much. So one of the guys walks through the crowd and points things out, and then he'll let Bill know, because, like he said, it's easier to buy a guy a tire than go to his funeral.
Melody,
four or five funerals.
If we left Kennedy's Custom Cycles, a shop my brother Mike and I own in Oceanside, if we lined up there, I'd pull you out of the line. I mean, no disrespect. I pull them out of the line and say, you're not safe. Well, I rode with so-and-so. Well, they can ride with us or they can leave with you. You want to ride? You ride 5 minutes after we leave because your bike is not safe. You puke in oil. Your cords are showing. Whatever's happening in there. And I really am, in a sense, if you... Everybody says after. Right.
That's
I don't
right
mean to be hard-assed. I want my friends to stay alive.
That's the right thing to do. Same here.
You know, it's just like if we got somebody that's at the bar and they get to, you know, we'll ask for the keys. They haven't, huh? That's fine. Bill's chatting them up for the keys while I'm out there puncturing the tire because, like I said, I'd rather buy you a tire than go to your funeral.
Phil's a bit vicious. May I tell you, I just pulled the spark plug wire off the spark plug. Phil's a little bit more vicious. But honest to God, if you're shit-faced, I'd rather call one of us and get your truck, my truck. You know what? We'll take you home. But this macho bullshit, and this happens to men more than women. If I tell this to women, they can say, Bill, you're right, I'm a little bit too drunk. Men give us this hardcore, oh, I can ride. Yeah, you can ride. And I'm going to tell you for a fact, the cemetery is full of people I call my brothers and sisters that, due to drugs and or alcohol, fail to properly negotiate a turn. Now, I ain't your mama. I'm not no minister. I ain't never lectured anybody. But I'm saying, if you're messed up, listen to your friends. All we want to do is get you home. I really am a pain in the ass, aren't I? I didn't realize that bad.
No,
this talk needed to be told. This is great. This is great. I hope everybody's listening right now.
Everybody goes out and helps their friend, checks their friend's stuff out there.
Well, you know...
that's what a friend does.
Exactly, yeah.
We got Belgium, Romania, Russia, the Netherlands, France, Germany, Australia, United Kingdom, people in Canada... 50,000 in the, we got 50,000 right now in the United States. Well, 50,862 in the United States. People.
Yeah.
Now, see, a lot of people are uncomfortable speaking. I don't know why. I think Philip and I are two of the easiest people to speak to there are. But they want to just listen in, and they type emails to Philip and messages. And because of the time constraints, a lot of people in Europe, they archive the show, and they listen in tomorrow.
Right.
So they send Philip. So not everybody... is right here, but
right now.
People are listening, and they're going to listen tomorrow to everything you're saying right now, Melanie.
Yeah.
United we stand, everybody. These guys don't bite. It's all about the ride, friends. Look out for your fellow bikers, and get on the radio and give us a talk once in a while. Besides listening up, we'd like to hear from all of you also.
Melanie, I want to ask you something.
Over there.
I want to ask you a question, if I can, as a woman rider. You don't have the same upper torso strength that we men have.
Correct.
Strong legs. I have to spend so much time talking to women who buy a stock motorcycle and they leave the handlebars alone, they leave the seat alone. Have you changed your handlebars, your seat? We talked about the Kennedy Triangle. Handlebar, seat,
foot
legs.
Yes.
But have you changed your bike? Tell us,
yes,
tell the women listening. How you've done something, what you've done to your bike, please.
I took and changed out my pegs. You got to sit comfortable. You have to sit comfortable with your elbows bent, resting down. You cannot be stretched out for a comfortable ride. You want a good, smooth ride. You need to sit on your bike, feel it, and see what you need to change out on it. I changed out my bars to come back to me so they reach me. I made my front end, turned it into a mid-glide. I brought my pegs, forward controls, put them forward controls up. I changed my shocks out. I had short progressive shocks on my bike.
I had no travel, so they would slam as I'd go over railroad tracks or bumps. I had
no suspension.
Travel. The suspension needed changed out, so I changed that out. I'm sitting real comfortable. So the handlebars, the grips, the foot pegs, and the shocks, very important. Number one, confidence. If you could touch the ground comfortably, you're not riding a street bike. If you're riding a Harley, you want to be comfortable and be sitting flat on the ground with your feet. You could take any ride, any turn, and be comfortable, confident once you change everything out. If your bike feels uncomfortable, sit on it and think about what needs changed out. If your arms don't reach, change everything around for yourself. Make sure you're comfortable, confident, and hit the road and ride. You want to have a smooth ride.
Melanie, I know a lot of girls, I talk to them, I see they're having difficulty getting the motorcycle up off the kickstand. So one of the many tips that we give away, as we're picking the bike off the kickstand, while you're sitting on the bike and the bike is on the kickstand, take your handlebars and turn them all the way to the right until the
hooks.
Now as you pick the bike up, you've taken like 20% of the weight of the bike off you. But women see men, because we have stronger upper torso, we grab the handlebars and we pick our bike up. If you don't know this,
correct,
I'm sure you already do. Please share that with other women, because I tell women, you don't have to fight getting the bike off the kickstand. You have the bike in the kickstand, the feet in the ground, turn your handlebars all the way to the right till it clunks, then pick the bike up. When I give demonstrations doing that, I pick the bike up without using any of my hands at all, just my knees. So for women having a little difficulty picking the bike up, please remember that trip there. Any other tips that you like to share, Melanie?
I was going to bring that up. That makes a big difference. It takes a lot off the shoulders, the back, and your muscles. A lot of women don't know how to do that. So it's a very good tip for everyone listening around the world. Also, another thing is a wind guard, a windshield. If you're riding long distance or short distance for the women, they think, you know, well, he's not using a shield and I look badass without it. Well, if you're getting beat up and you need your masseuse to come over or need a massage, it's because you don't have that windshield or wind guard. Get a little one. The air just feeds right off of it, and it doesn't beat you up. If you feel like you're
getting
beat up on a ride.
And Melanie, you can tell the difference between friends of yours who go to Las Vegas without a windshield and friends of yours who go to Vegas with the windshield. The ones with the windshield are much more relaxed and comfortable, and the ones by the time we get to Vegas, the girls without a windshield, they are sore in their shoulders, their back, and everything, correct?
Yes, they are done. I have a bad back, and I did for a while. When I first went to Vegas on my ride, it was the worst, windiest year, and I did not have a shield, and nobody told me about it. I got beat up. There was guys waiting for people to come trailer them home. I rode that ride toughing it out, and I learned my lesson. I got a shield after that. Now I can go anywhere, Reno, anywhere, no problem. I'm there.
Melanie, one of the things I like the women to understand about the concept of a step seat. I don't like the silhouette seats for the women. I like a step seat so you have lower lumbar support. That helps your back. You have the windshield, you have the right handlebars, and a step seat. Give yourself 6 or 7 inches of support on the small of your back. Again, it makes the whole body so much better. Silhouette seats,
that's
look
good
at the Easy Rider show. For long rides, no.
No. That's another thing I did. I customized my seat, upholstery zone. I had them take out, put some memory foam in it, and I have the back support. I ride a Dyna Low and a Heritage Softail. Both of them have back support on the seat, so that's the third and important thing. Yes, to support your back, you definitely need to customize your seat.
We ride with
a
lot of people.
Difference.
And we ride with a lot of people. I'm going to tell you, friends of mine, they have the super cool motorcycles. About mile 300, they're in pain. That little twinge of pain we had, maybe you fell off the swing in second grade, maybe you played high school soccer. We've all done small injuries to our body. After 300 miles, if your bike's not set up, that's where the pain comes in. Now, there's a ride
100%.
There's a ride in Mexico called Puerto Penasco. And again, I apologize for my Espanol, beyond terrible. In English, it's called Rocky Point. It's about 500-mile ride. We go to mainland Mexico. We go to Gila Bend, Arizona, hang a right, going into mainland Mexico. And I'm telling you, about mile 300, I have friends of mine in their late 20s, early 30s. They're saying, Bill, it hurts. I said, look around. We're in the middle of Sonora Desert. I don't see no 7-Eleven here. I told you, be a bar biker. I'm not against that at all. Be a bar biker. If you're going to go for a ride, learn to change your seat, learn to put a windshield on, enjoy the ride. Don't make it be torture. Unless you want to put your bike in the back of your truck, and then I'm not going to start that. I don't want to talk about those people. You can You can have two seats. You can have a windshield that's easy on, easy off, quick release. I have a lot of my friends when they go long rides, they go home in 15 minutes, an hour later, they get the bike set up to go for a long ride with me. And yet, they can go down the bar and, you know, hey, look at me, I'm cool. And this is California. Yeah. We all want to look. Philip has a nasty little hot rod bike. He likes the way it is, you know?
Yeah. The way they do the seats nowadays where they customize them with the memory foam, not only that, they could put any stitch or design you want on them. I have a heart with wings on mine, customized. It's beautiful. You can still have a badass-looking bike and customize it any way you want to, but the most important thing is a comfortable ride. If you're not complaining about your back, you have a good ride and everything's set up for you, you can ride anywhere, any distance.
Melody, on your Dynaglide, do you use stirrups at all, or do you just use
my
the Dynalo, foot peg only?
I use foot pegs only. I have the back, the front, and I do have stirrups in front. They're not actual stirrups, but the pegs in front there. So if I want to adjust, I can adjust as I'm riding.
Because I like to tell people with ankle problems, stirrups are excellent because just give me 5 minutes and I can adjust that. And you know what? Let me say something very important. If you do have an ankle problem on one foot and not the other, you do not have to have two stirrups in the same direction. If one ankle needs more support than the other one, one stirrup going up, one stirrup going down, it's your goddamn bike. The important thing is you're comfortable. I got people saying, well, I don't want people to know my ankle's not that good. Make the bike comfortable.
Yep, number one, you can do it. Anyone can do it with any bike.
What type of exhaust are you running, Melanie?
I have Vance and Hines.
Uh-huh.
Yep. And, I changed those out. And I got light, nice, loud pipes. Changed out the front to the mid-glide, changed out the bars, the breakaway wind guard. I have that.
Mm-hmm.
What else did I do? Customized my seat and probably a few other things.
Do you use much of the throttle boss, or do you lock your throttle in when you drive?
Radio show.
I use that little Rebel throttle boss on the palm of my hand. So when I'm driving mile after mile, do you use anything like that, or do you just use the throttle lock?
I have the throttle full on most of the time, though. But I've got a my throttle smooth. Also,
And are you running spokes or mags? And if so, tell me why you do that.
I have the Shelby's. I changed out my wheels recently also. I have the Shelby wheels from Hog Pro. They're beautiful. I'll have to throw up a photo. Yeah, they're really nice, customized.
Are you running a 19 and 16, or you change your wheels to different sizes, you know?
16, I believe 16 and 19.
Yes, that's the end, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like we're winding down. So I want you to keep in touch with us on this show coming up, because we want you to call in, especially once we get on the ground, we get some of the guests of Sam Crow here. You can talk to some of the actors.
Good.
And then I'll be looking.
Sounds good.
And then I don't know if I'll be at the other ride, because I've got to be at that patch party, because he's getting his patch, you know, blah, 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 blah. But I look forward to Melody seeing you when the run's coming up soon.
Okay, got it, definitely.
Okay,
Mel, what I'm going to do is, that's a good number to send you a text at?
It is.
Because there's going to be an alternate co-host, and I'll send you a text on who it's going to be.
Okay. You know who I'd like to hear on the show again also is Brenda Fox.
That's who it is.
Oh, nice.
You just ruined the surprise.
Oh,
I didn't know. You guys gave it away if it was a surprise.
No, you gave it away.
You gave it away.
I have no idea. I haven't talked to you guys in so long, and I just mentioned it.
Say no, and you know, come on, you guessed it. All right,
I talked to her today.
Oh, my phone's gonna die, guys.
Okay,
all right.
We'll see you later. I'll talk to you soon.
Melanie, I'll see you somewhere down the road. Okay, kiddo.
Okay, ride safe. Smiles
right,
for miles.
That's what we needed. Well, when I'm talking about my women riders, they're asset or liabilities to me. This lady is an asset. Women,
you know, it's just that Bill. I'm gonna tell you,
I'm not talking about her ass.
She rides good. She rides very good. And what I was gonna say was, a lot of times we have guys say, we don't want a woman to ride with us.
Oh shit,
they can meet us there.
We ride with women that
they
ride
better than the guys.
That's right.
So what?
Stormy's
mother was in, but they're having a bad storm back
there. Storm back there was crazy.
Yes.
You know what?
Yes.
I know if you can hear us or not. I was thinking about Stormy and her mother today. I had the news on. My God, there's people up on the rooftops and everything in there. I hope everything's okay for you guys.
Well, it is. She said the storm knocked out the power.
Okay, but they're not underwater or whatever? Good.
No,
okay, good.
They're doing good. So
good.
What I'm going to do is little Kid Rock, take us out. And
Melly and I may be, Stormy and I may be cutting a record down the road. Do you hear that?
I heard you.
No, okay.
And we'll invite everybody back next week, and we'll let you know the dates coming up for Sam Crow.
Sam Crow. It's going to be fun if you all join us, folks.
That's it. All right, everybody.
One more time. Mi Amigo, Kid Rock, All Summer Long. Back in the good old days, before internets, before computers, just you and your girl.
It was 1989, my thoughts were short, my hair was long. Caught somewhere between a boy and man. She was 17 and she was far from in between. It was summertime in northern Michigan.
I fucking.
She'd never fuck up the radio. That would fuck up our friendship and everything.
Yeah.
If she smiled at one of us, the other one got the joke, you know.
What the fuck is sending me? I bet you didn't know this Godzilla. Real too.
And when people tune in, they can also come in to
see
shows, they can see all this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
That's what people want to hear.
Oh, yeah. This is what they're fucking sending me.
It
would be broke.
You know what?
Here, where's that other one? All right. If that guy works it. Hey, man, we need to put my sisters on there. These are still got to load up.
I'm good. You know, I think you're not going to make anything out of it.